Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. Though the word cancer can focus your attention on the disease itself, it's also important to remember the people affected by cancer. In particular, the more than 250,000 women in the United States who are diagnosed with breast cancer every year. Most of those women will be cured by surgery. Others will receive instructions to seek treatment designed to arrest, reverse, and prevent a recurrence in the breast or the spread of the cancer to other parts of the body. This may include radiation therapy, chemotherapy, and hormonal therapy. But eventually, these women are declared healthy and sent home with a clean bill of health. Because while more than 25% of women with breast cancer will die, the vast majority of women will live. For most of those women, initial feelings of shock, disbelief, and distress are often followed by physical recovery and a return to good psychological health. A small group of women, however, have lingering and sometimes disabling psychological problems following their diagnosis. And though these women live to join the more than 2 million survivors of breast cancer, persistent stress and depression are a significant and painful legacy of their disease. As we have become more successful in treating breast cancer, we are no longer solely occupied with end-of-life issues, but are often very concerned with the business of getting on with life. The recognition and study of the psychological consequences of the cancer experience is the subject of the discipline of psycho-oncology, a field that emerged as a distinct discipline in the mid-1970s. For the first time, cancer, once a taboo topic, could be discussed openly, and more patients became willing to share their feelings and experience and participate in studies. Breast cancer has been the most extensively studied cancer from the standpoint of psychosocial consequences, dating back to the mid-20th century, and remains the paradigm for the field. Women with breast cancer suffer psychologically not only from the diagnosis and initial therapy, with the resultant side effects, but also from the fear of recurrence and of dying of the disease. There was a time when cancer was largely treated in hospitals, where psychosocial counseling might be available alongside other patient services. But today, cancer in general, and breast cancer treatment in particular, is most commonly delivered in ambulatory care settings, like clinics, physicians' offices, and other outpatient locations. As care has migrated away from inpatient hospital settings, the psychosocial services that might have been available to women have not consistently made the trip to the outpatient treatment centers. But the impact of a diagnosis of breast cancer on a woman, as well as her family and her community, is a critical component in the cycle of care. The psychosocial needs of such women and the opportunities to provide support to them along the disease trajectory prompted the Institute of Medicine and its National Cancer Policy Board to examine several key questions. First and foremost, how does one define psychosocial distress, and how frequently does it occur among women with breast cancer at each stage? Distress in cancer has been defined as an unpleasant emotional experience that may be psychological, social, or spiritual in nature. Distress exists on a continuum and begins with the normal and expected feelings of fear, worry, sadness, and vulnerability in coping with cancer and its treatment. These normal feelings, though, may persist and extend to become more severe, even disabling symptoms of anxiety or a formal diagnosis of major depression. Severe distress may relate to the illness or its treatment, a severe social problem or a family problem, or it also may result from a spiritual or existential crisis created by confronting a threat to life or from the complications of treatment. Studies show that the highest distress takes place at transition points in treatment, at the time of diagnosis, awaiting treatment, during and on completion of treatment, at follow-up visits, at time of recurrence, and at time of treatment failure. Taken overall, around 30% of women show what's characterized as significant distress at some point during the illness, but that number can be even greater for women with recurrent disease whose family members are also distressed. Given the level of distress most women feel, it's logical to then ask what interventions are available and how effective are they. Interventions to address psychosocial problems and distress begin with basic information about the disease and treatment options from the breast cancer care clinician, often a medical oncologist. This clinician, regardless of medical specialty, should express support, encourage patients to voice their fears and concerns, encourage coping, and provide medication when needed to control symptoms like insomnia and anxiety. Psychosocial services should be provided by oncology caregivers as part of total medical care, but referrals to specialists in psycho-oncology, social work, pastoral counselors, and other professionals may be necessary where the level of distress is high. The frequency of visits to a psycho-oncology professional may vary from a single encounter to several, and the timing and duration may also vary from very brief to extending over months or at times even years. Today, there are many community-based services available to women with breast cancer at no charge. While it's encouraging to note that there's an increasing sensitivity to the importance of addressing cancer-related psychosocial concerns in the context of total care, the degree to which these services are offered and accessible is highly variable, and they're not monitored in any way to determine the quality of care. Although estimates are imprecise, surveys suggest that perhaps 10% and at most 30% of women with breast cancer have used psychosocial services, often of a relatively informal nature. But 2/3 of women who report feeling significantly distressed indicate very clearly that they would accept services if they were routinely offered. Because that's not always the case, many women with breast cancer rely solely on family, friends, and clergy for social support. Some may find information and support on the internet, seeking out sites maintained by the Young Survivors Coalition, by cancerandcareers.org, or the American Society of Clinical Oncology's People Living with Cancer. Other women simply don't have the social supports built into their lives. Several barriers commonly prevent women with breast cancer from getting psychosocial interventions and care. Access to psychosocial services in outpatient clinics and private oncology office practices is often restricted. Breast cancer care occurs primarily in private office-based practices that routinely do not employ psychosocial professionals. Increased complexity of care has limited access even further. Women with breast cancer usually see multiple specialists, visiting various surgeons, radiation oncologists, and medical oncologists during treatment, and care is often not well coordinated. Fragmentation of care is an added psychological burden. Though receiving adequate information and the ability to ask questions in a comfortable way are basic needs for addressing psychosocial concerns, patients are generally not cared for by a single trusted physician. Instead, they visit busy outpatient offices and clinics where time with the doctor is restricted, and the opportunity to bring up psychosocial problems may be lost. Indeed, many patients report reluctance to discuss psychosocial concerns with their oncologist. Another barrier is the lack or inadequacy of health insurance coverage. An estimated 8% of women with breast cancer are uninsured, or if patients are insured, mental health services are often reimbursed at a lower level. Still other barriers are the stigma associated with seeking or using mental health services, physicians' failure to ask patients about distressing emotional symptoms, and the lack of simple, rapid instruments for screening for psychosocial distress. All are barriers to the recognition, diagnosing, and treatment by supportive psychosocial professionals. There is no question that overcoming barriers to appropriate use of psychosocial services will require advocacy. It's also important that programs are put in place to monitor psychosocial services through quality assurance programs to ensure compliance with standards of care, physician education, training in communication skills, and research relative to identifying and overcoming barriers. On the flip side of the coin, determinations of eligibility for psychosocial interventions ensure that women with breast cancer who neither want nor need these interventions are not subjected to them. Attending unnecessary sessions can be difficult for patients, a waste of time for both patients and therapists, and a financial burden on the healthcare system and its patients. At the end of the day, one of the clear messages of Breast Cancer Awareness Month is that there is a lot that women can do to protect themselves from the disease. Leading a healthy lifestyle can help lower the risk of getting breast cancer, and regular screening tests can detect breast cancer early when it's most treatable. From 1997 to 2005, the National Cancer Policy Board existed at the Institute of Medicine and National Research Council to address broad public policy issues that affect cancer in the United States. In May 2005, the National Cancer Policy Forum was established to succeed the board. Institute of Medicine forums are designed to allow government, industry, academic, and other representatives to meet and confer privately on subject areas of mutual interest. This forum provides a focus within the national academies for the consideration of issues in science, clinical medicine, public health, and public policy relevant to the goals of preventing, palliating, and curing cancer. For more information on the National Cancer Policy Forum, or to learn more about meeting the psychosocial needs of women with breast cancer, you may call the forum at 202-334-1382. You may also read the full text of this book online at the National Academies Press. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.